7. Admission.
Brother, Sanguinius whispers in her side. Look.
Rogel Dawn and Sanguinius step through the silver door together, blades drawn and centered to their brows in respect and fealty. They enter the eerie, infinite glare of the throne room. Dawn is flanked by senior huskarls, and the angel by solemn sanguinary guards. The golden sentinels at either side of the great door respectfully drop their chins as one. The growing crowd of worthies parts in deference at the sight of the Primarchs to make a path. Dawn sees what has drawn his beloved brother's attention. The high company of the Imperial Armory has entered ahead of them, and their procession is beginning its slow, dignified advance along the 6 kilometres of the nave.
Then it is upon us, says Rogel Dawn,
his voice barely audible. Neither he nor Sanguinius have ever become used to this chamber, no matter the number of times they have come here. It triggers vertigo, acrophobia, agoraphobia, and kinophobia. Despite the numinous and pervasive light, it inspires a fear of darkness, too. It is the only place in creation where such feelings manifest for them. The endless space seems to whisper to them of their mortality, as though every stone and tile and column is intent on reminding them of their insignificance. But that's not what Dawn feels today. His voice and heart are stilled by the sight of his father's weapons, brought through in honour. The gathering crowd around them stirs, both fearful and elated. Dawn glances at Sanguinius. There is joy and sadness in both of them. Joy, sadness, and infinite fatigue. This is what they had hoped for, and also what they have dreaded. Is the drawing in of the great armors a sign they have failed in their duties, requiring their father to finish what they could not? Or is it a sign of their success, that they have held the line beyond all expectation, long enough for this moment to become possible? Simply that it is happening is enough. They look to the sentinels.
You are admitted, lords, says one.
The brothers sheathe their blades.
Are we instructed to approach? Asks Dawn.
At once.
Dawn turns, but Sanguinius catches his arm and stops him. For a second, they stand shoulder to shoulder, eye to eye.
You've performed the most extraordinary feat, Sanguinius says unexpectedly. Please remember that.
Dawn is taken aback by the frankness of the comment and the innocent sincerity with which it is expressed. His startled half-smile wavers with imprisoned emotion, a flash of light at the high-slit window of an otherwise impregnable keep.
A mere fraction of your deeds, brother, he replies awkwardly. You closed the gate. You locked...
Sanguinius shakes his head.
I was a warrior, Rogel. Just a warrior. You were the one who mattered.
He embraces the Praetorian, the spontaneous impulse of a child. As with his guileless comment, the embrace is unexpected and unself-conscious, a rare display of emotion, especially in such a gathering. For a moment, Dawn freezes. Then he completes the embrace. When they step back, a single teardrop glints on the brightest one's pauldron, where the Praetorian rested his head, and a single drop of blood gleams on the Praetorian's backplate, where Sanguinius pressed his hand.
Not yet.
They both look aside. The crowd has parted again. Constantine Valdor has entered, his spear across his shoulder. The custodes Pylorus do not drop their chins. They kneel, for they are his.
Not yet, he repeats, a growl. Your plaudits and self-congratulation.
You are owed much yourself, Constantine, says Sanguinius.
Valdor shrugs. His armor is pitted and filthy. He eyes them both.
If any is owed, and any necessary, says Valdor, then it can wait until the outcome is settled.
No, says Sanguinius. Let's imagine it can't. None of us may live to see that outcome. So I'll make damn sure I say it while I still can. And you can both listen. You've both excelled. And you're both owed. And I am proud to call you brothers.
Brothers now, sneers Valdor. Brothers, is it?
In every way that matters, Constantine, says Sanguinius. He sighs. I meant no slight by it, Captain General. But now I see that...
Stop, says Valdor.
He sniffs and his brows furrow.
I recognize the spirit of your words, Ninth Son, he says grudgingly. And if this is our only moment, as you suggest, then I tell you I have nothing but honor in my heart for you both.
His eyes narrow as he looks at Sanguinius.
But no embrace is necessary, he adds.
The remark is intended lightly, and the tension slackens. But Dorne can see how racked with unspoken, perhaps unspeakable pain Valdor has become since they were last face to face, as though the Captain General has seen and done too much. It hurts to behold that in a being of such legendary fortitude. Dorne looks away at the receding procession.
Shall we fall in behind? He suggests.
Yes, says Valdor. You two should. His will is known to me already. I will follow as soon as I have issued my last instructions.
He turns aside. Attending him are two giants of the Custodian Order, whose plate is so coated with soot it seems almost black. The grim wardens of the dark cells are a rare sight, even in the throne room. With them, Dorne sees, is Kyria Kasrin and seven others of the Silent Sisterhood. They may have been there all along, and their null states only just registered by his senses. Valdor begins to instruct them, his voice low. Sanguinius and Dorne turn and follow the armourers in, side by side.
He's going to fight, murmurs Sanguinius as they advance.
I think he is, Dorne replies.
Should we weep or rejoice? Asks Sanguinius.
I think it is just cause for both, his brother says.